Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, Doug.
Provide a welcome opening and share some chat discussion.
Welcome to the Many Mansions Church Service every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. According to the Book of Ezekiel, we're not alone in the heavens above. Reverend Douglas James Cottrell and the clergy of Many Mansions Spiritual Centers and Churches and the International School of the Prophets Seminary welcome you to our weekly spiritual virtual healing service. We offer our service to enjoy an uplifting community get-together. Listen in to the service being held on Zoom as Reverend Douglas reveals the wisdom and guidance of Holy Scripture. We believe in miracles.
Leading us in prayer,
Deacon Dave, we are here today to our community and our brothers and sisters of faith. Visit internationalschoolofthepropheticom to join in live to our Zoom Interfaith Christian Faith Service every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Please email to manymansions144@gmail.com. And mmsc.usa@gmail.com. And now we go to our
happy
service.
For our organization, we ask God Almighty to watch over us and to bless us and to keep us safe. We're broadcasting this prayer and this service today internationally to the audience who is listening on the global radio show. We also extend a blessing, wishing them health, wealth, and peace of mind. In the name of the Almighty, we are grateful for our lives. We are grateful for this day. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you, Reverend Douglas Cottrell. Now I'll call upon Mark to read our mission statement.
Our mission is to speak of God Almighty and journey and practice unconditional love as much as possible every day of our lives. By humble spiritual practices of meditation, earnest intellectual research, we may come to know in part the great truths of God Almighty and understand in part the great mysteries of the spiritual dimensions our heavens above. In this understanding, we may move forward and develop its gifts as a demonstration of the divine existence of our immortal soul and its divine existence within each of us, as recounted in the Holy Books. This spiritual awareness promotes our willingness to serve God Almighty as we are inspired to do so by our inner soul for health, wealth, and peace of mind.
Thank you very much, Mark. Now I'm going to be reciting the love verses from 1 Corinthians. Now I'd like us to reflect on these verses about love from the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no account of wrongs. Love takes no pleasure in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Now we're singing the Lord's Prayer. I invite you to sing along with us, with me. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Let us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and evermore. Amen. I will now call upon Reverend Michael to read the prayer for the planet.
I'm not organized enough to do it. Something's wrong with my email, so thank you. I had it written down here, but I can't find it.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, we ask for a blessing to the world in which we live and inhabit. We ask in the name of the great Savior to bless this planet and all the people upon the same. We ask for benevolence to come into the hearts and the minds of those who have authority over us, and for those who are of great responsibility directing our world. We ask for the great spirit of love and compassion and understanding to come over our world, to bless it as our home, as that place that we will find our way to the heavens above. Bless each and every one that is here today, and to all the people of the world, may there be peace everlasting. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you, Reverend Douglas. And we are going to be playing a hymn in preparation for the sermon which Reverend Douglas will be doing in a few minutes.
I love the sea and the sky. I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am. Easy, my Lord, I have heard you calling in my heart. I will go alone if you lead me. I will hold your feet.
Welcome, everyone. It's a special day today. We have several members who are going through some pretty tough times with some serious ailments, and I want us to remember them, and we'll get to that point in a few minutes. As we continue with our worldwide broadcast on the Global Radio Network, we want to welcome all the listeners who will be listening to this show in the various time zones around the world, as there is people listening in India and Australia, and also to our people in South America, some who are maybe on the show, on the Zoom meeting today. So we welcome everyone around the world, and we're pleased that you found us. Remember our websites. Remember our email addresses, and we will try to keep you informed with our new newsletter called The Sacred Scroll. It comes out infrequently or as time and inspiration happens. So before we get to the main blessing for everyone, today is a sermon or a talk that's a little unusual. As you understand, that every Sunday I'm usually getting orders from headquarters as to what to talk about. And so this has been coming to me very strongly for the last while. And in the not too distant past, I had a vision of a future event. And of that future event, one that I don't normally engage in and such things about the future, but one when I see it in my vision, I know it's going to occur. And over the years, I've seen many things that have come about, but when seeing them in the past, that is to say, when they happened looking back, they seem very unusual, almost impossible. So I started to do a little research on this vision that I had, and I thought about letting you in on this vision because it's going to affect the world. As we move forward in time, we are evolving at warp speed. The world is changing. The Mayan calendar, the long count of the world changing in a day or a year, happened, not in 2012, but in 2020. Or thereabouts. So some of these future events, these changes in the world, They're exciting. They're scary. They're earth-shattering. But to be forewarned, to be prepared, is why people like me and you are given these visions, these prophecies of the future. Now, a prophecy is something that's different. It's not a prediction. It's not clairvoyance. It's not an assessment or a contemplation or any of the other intuitive abilities or gifts. Remember, our organization is found primarily upon the spiritual gifts located in the Book of Corinthians. The most important spiritual gift is the gift of prophecy. And it's important because it's to be shared with and for the betterment of all. That's what it says in the good book. Please read it and let that sink in, for the betterment of all. So over the years, I've made predictions. I've made prophecies. And for the most part, they've come true. Some are avoided because we warn people of something and they don't do it. They don't get involved in the circumstances. And that's becoming a false prophet, which all prophets aspire to be. A false prophet, meaning you give a prophecy and it doesn't happen. But for the most part, prophecies cannot be changed, no matter what you do. You can lessen the impact. You can modify it. But sometimes, just sometimes, you can avoid it. But most times, you have to go through it. We've talked about this before. And as part of our community, and I hope you sign up to be our community real soon. This is the second time I'm telling you to do so now. You have to become a member of our community to continue on in our services and our benefits. Please remember to do that. And you do it through the website. But as we continue with these understandings of prophecy, then we know that when something is given from above, there is a reason for it being given. And if we prepare for it, we can lessen the impact. And that's to our benefit. We can be prepared. Now, whether you go to Passover and you understand the smearing of blood over the doorway, which was an instruction from the Most High to the believers of the day, they were not harmed by a great harm that was coming to the people, the Egyptians, at that point in time and in the day. So you have to do something when you receive a prophecy. The first thing is to understand the means of prophecy, which I've just briefly touched upon, is that a prophecy comes and it's for you to decide whether it's part of your duty, part of your life, whether you believe it, whether you don't, and if you're going to prepare for it or not. Yes, there's two types of sin, the sin of commission and the sin of omission. Watch out for the last one. So when these things come to me, as they have in the past, including my book, The New Earth, which we published in 2011, and before that, 2012 and beyond, we were talking about these days that are here now, these times of extremes, these chaotic times. From the assessment of all the people who have given me information, and from what I know or what I've seen, this time of difficulty is now in the 2020s. We're going to have more difficulties between now, 2023, and to 2028, more severe extremes. And then something's going to happen after that that's going to get us back on course. But for this time now, be prepared, expect the most extreme situations to happen to the world, and you will be saved. You'll be, the blow to your difficulty and your family will be lessened. And you might just avoid whatever's coming. That's not said to scare you. It's said this is part of prophecy and how it's given. All the prophets in the book, in the good book, all spoke of calamities and wars and difficulties, but they also spoke of hope. So as I've gone through my life, having seen the future many, many, many times for the world and for individuals, I kind of get to the point like I'm watching television. That means I'm watching things unfold and I'm not getting upset, scared, frightened, panicked, extreme, angry, difficult, blaming somebody, carrying a placard and protesting. I believe in God Almighty. And I believe if something is given in a prophetic way, then the Most High has allowed it to happen. The universes beyond the universe that we live in, I have no idea what they're like. I have been to other heavens and I've seen a little glimpse of what they're like. But this vision I had a while ago was, well, I'm going to tell you what it is, and then I'm going to tell you why I've been looking at Ezekiel. Every time I see something in the future, it's unfamiliar and it's unbelievable because it isn't here yet. And some of the things I've said to people over the years completely made no sense. But later on, when it came true, there it was. I once was in Spain and I had a vision of really thin metal that was going to be used on the fuselage of airplanes. And it was going to be like tinfoil. That sounds like Area 51 stuff, doesn't it? Well, a few weeks after that, the British government came out and announced that they had developed a new Mylar type metal that was going to be paper thin and was going to be put on the fuselage of airplanes or jets. Now, I had no expectation, no interest in that particular bit of information, but I was received it and I gave it. So you can see I'm procrastinating leading up to what I'm about to tell you. As we understand Ezekiel, we have to look at Ezekiel as the people at the time basing their observations on what they knew at the time. And again, the future is here, and now we can look back. A helicopter back in the day of Ezekiel would seem to be something just amazing, something so unusual that Ezekiel himself believed it to be something of God. Flying crafts, whirling blades, lights, exhaust fumes, thunder, lightning, beings dressed up in what would be helmets and outfits, like our astronauts when they go someplace. Think about it. During the Second World War, Nostradamus had a vision of the World War II pilots in Britain. They were wearing these big muzzles on their face for air. It was their breathing and also it was their radio. But in the vision of these people, these pilots with these big muzzles on their nose, he called them pig men. They looked like pigs. They had a snout. Well, that didn't make sense to anybody until the Second World War when the British pilots had this apparatus on their face that gave them a snout. If you see pictures of that time, you will immediately recognize the significance of his reference as to the pigmen. Well, back in Ezekiel's day, our astronauts wearing their helmets and their air packs and their outfits, they would look pretty grotesque and they would look coming from above, off-world, as very alien, very unusual. And think about the craft coming down with the rocket ships coming down with blasting exhaust systems and all the things that go along with flight. If you put yourself back in the time, you can begin to see that the book of Ezekiel contains 48 chapters and 1,273 verses. And I'm going to emphasize just three portions of the text where he mentioned flying machines and celestial beings in a prominent way. The first of the sections is in the opening of the book from Ezekiel 1, verse 4 to 28. Ezekiel's vision of a divine chariot. Ezekiel sees a whirlwind and great clouds with fire, and in the midst of this spectacle, he perceives four living creatures with the appearance of a man, each having four faces and four wings. Above these beings is a filament described as a terrible crystal with the likeness of a throne and the form of a man seated upon it. Sounds like a helicopter to me. With the likeness of a throne or a seat and the form of a man sitting upon it, the description has often been interpreted by others as reference to a flying vehicle and or a celestial being. Another portion of interest is Ezekiel 3, 12 to 14, which describes the spirit lifting Ezekiel up and taking him away. I'll read that again. The spirit or the force or something lifting him up and taking him away. And as it did, he was accompanied by a great noise like the sound of rushing water. It carried him away, and this noise could be interpreted as a flight experience, wishing wind, and also with a heavenly visitor, somebody who's flying this vehicle. Lastly, our attention goes to Ezekiel 10:1-22, where the prophet once again encounters four living creatures with their wheels. In this passage, the charity-like structure is called a wheel within a wheel, which has often been interpreted as a reference to a flying vehicle. Moreover, the presence of the celestial beings from the first vision further cements the idea of interactions between Ezekiel and visitors from heaven. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet. He was a holy man. And as I understand God, God is omnipresent, omnipotent. God does not need a vehicle to appear and or to take his prophets around for little joyrides. But to Ezekiel, this was a terrifying experience. But again, although the book of Ezekiel does not explicitly mention flying vehicles or extraterrestrial visitors in the modern sense, the passages, if we explore them, contain vivid descriptions that have led many to interpret these sections as encounters with advanced technology or celestial beings. As with many ancient texts, it is critical to consider the context, culture, and usage of the language at the time when interpreting these enigmatic scriptures. In Ezekiel 1, verse 4, I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, this is Ezekiel talking, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof was a color amber, out of the midst of the fire. He was looking at flames, which are amber and, of course, white light, as well as yellow. In the midst came a likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They all had the likeness of a man. They all had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Their feet were straight, and the sole of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot. Think about an astronaut with a great big boot. And they sparkled like a color of brass. They had the hands of a man under their wings, and on four sides, they had their four faces and their wings. The wings were often joined one to another and turned not where they went. In other words, they didn't steer. They just went in the direction that they wanted to turn their faces and go the way they look. In verse 9, the wings were joined one to another. They turned not where they went. They went one straight forward, and they went where they were supposed to go. Now, I researched Ezekiel, and I was I've heard it many times before as a Boy Scout. I was listening to the old hymn, A Wheel Within a Wheel of Rollin', you know, those kinds of things. But until I had this vision of a couple of weeks ago, I never paid much attention to the book of Ezekiel, nor do I pay attention as a believer in extraterrestrials, but I do conscribe to the idea that if God in the beginning made heaven and earth, all the heavens and all the earths, as my good friend Dr. Grinsell pointed out to me in Connecticut a long time ago, then if there are extraterrestrial beings, there are cousins, because God made everything in the beginning. And so that always struck me as a curious thing for this really no-nonsense scientific-oriented man to say, that he believed if there are extraterrestrials, and he had yet to meet one, as have I, that it made sense that in all of the universe, all the galaxies and all the solar systems, or rather all the systems in the universe, that there must be other life force like us. So a few weeks ago, I had a vision. And in this vision, there was a round white puff, the kind when you see Grandpa smoking his pipe and he blows a smoke ring. You know what I mean? A big ring of white, only it was the size of a skyscraper. And through this orifice, this ring, some people have told me it's a stargate, there appeared an armada of ships. Not the little ones, not rocket ships, but gigantic vehicles. I didn't run away. I just kept looking. And therein, I wondered what our military was going to do about this invasion force. Therein, I was in a hotel or a room. I was up high watching this off to the to my left. And beings came into the room. I wasn't afraid. And there was a woman with a certain look and had a certain kind of teeth, not grotesque, just different. And I went over, being me, and I asked for her name. She gave me her name, and I had to say it very carefully because it was a long name, and there were certain sounds within the name that I had to mimic or repeat. I think I remembered it. Prophecy always gives you little indicators of time. And in this scene where I was sitting in this room, my dog Max was there. And somebody said, kill the dog. I protested and said, no. And they said to me, why not? And I said, because I love the dog. And they went, okay. Max is 7 years old. He has a lifespan of maybe 14, 15, 16 years. So if I take that as an indicator of a time between now and when this event may happen, we have a few years. Either that or it's a new Max in the future sometime, or it's me in another lifetime come back. I don't know. This shook me up a little bit, but I was not afraid. And the more I started to read Ezekiel from that point of view, the more I became aware that Ezekiel's encounter, as all the conspiracy people are pointing out, had something to do with Ezekiel, who was one of God's chosen prophets at the time, who believed when he saw God or these vehicles, he put his nose on the ground and worshiped. because he thought they were God coming out of the sky. But again, God doesn't need vehicles to get around. And what he described, if you read the book of Ezekiel, I encourage you to do so, especially those first one, two, or three chapters, and you look at it from that perspective, it's a pretty hard argument to say he wasn't seeing flying vehicles that were coming out of the sky with blades like a helicopter, with jet engines that were spewing smoke and flames, that when they came down to the ground, dust came up from when they landed. And the wheel within a wheel he saw was a round wheel with smaller wheels inside so that it would go forward and go sideways without having to turn, lean, or steer. We have such vehicles now. I'm giving you this vision because I have had visions of many other strange things happening, and they've all come true, or most of them. That again, in my book, The New Earth, there are many, many predictions of the future, which at the time I was publishing that book, some of my friends, one or two that's right here today, said, Douglas, we can't read your book. It's so terrible, the future. Oh, my God. Why did you write this book? And I said, because this is what I was supposed to do. This is what my duty is as a prophet, although I didn't call myself a prophet at the time. So where are we going with the current chaos in the world? As a community, and what we're preparing to do is to illuminate the words of Christ or the teachings of the Christ. We are coming forth with new ideas. And by the way, I've been criticized forwards and backwards, left and right, up and down, so a little bit more criticism isn't going to hurt me. It's part of being a prophet, being somebody who sees the future, being someone just like you who has future vision. The name of Christ, or Jesus, I should say, is properly Yeshua. And last weekend, I used Yeshua the Christ for the very first time. That came out of me. As much as we say Jesus the Christ all the time, I refuse to say Jesus Christ. I say Jesus the Christ because he became the Christ, and that's why he's so special, that we should use this name as part of our community. We should use other concepts of this revelation of prophecy so that people won't be afraid when they have a prophetic dream, so that they'll be prepared themselves to find their inner way through their life, for their health, through their ascension, through their awareness, to being self-realized, whatever term you want to put on it. Remember, we try not to get into the jargon too much, but to say that there's an upward ascension of consciousness. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. That doesn't stop your ascension. It doesn't matter how many friends you have or don't have. That doesn't stop your ascension. It doesn't matter what you've done, whether it's been good or bad. That doesn't stop your ascension. It helps to be helpful, and it helps to be good. But if you forgive yourself and find the error of your ways, that's called repenting, then you can continue your ascension on the elevator as opposed to the staircase or the rickety ladder, so to speak. You can go faster. But if you choose to ascend, you will. You might not know how or what's coming to you. That's not that important, believe me. But you will have certain things happen to you. You'll dream more. Your enthusiasm for life will be heightened. You'll begin to love yourself. And by loving yourself, you accept what's going on in your life, and then you do something about it to improve it. You don't take no for an answer. You don't lay down and die. You don't pity yourself. You don't get angry with everybody else. And you don't care what political party they belong to. You don't care about who's in the White House, and you care more about who's in your house. And you start to have an inward look. Yes, the politicians are the politicians. That's their world. The greedy have their world. Yes, that's their world. They're greedy. That's okay. Let them get it out of their system. We can go through the various worlds that are around us all the time. You've gone through them, are going through them, or will go through them. But there's a world out there of love. It's a world out there of you understanding who you are. It's okay to be cranky. It's okay to be grouchy. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be angry. But always come back on the path, which is today, in the present moment. If you're worrying about things that are going to happen, you're in the future and you're missing out on today. If you're contemplating and going over the anger and the frustrations of past hurts, you're living in the past. You're missing out on today. Ezekiel must have been astonished when all of a sudden these aircraft, spacecraft, or beings maybe from different parts of the earth itself landed in front of him. You know what the first question is in my mind? Why him? Why Ezekiel? Well, obviously, because Ezekiel was able to write a book that's lasted for a long time, and it was quite a book. So therein is purpose, the divine selecting individuals. You. Me. Therein is the present moment. Think of that. One day, Ezekiel got up, put his clothes on, put his turban on, you know, put his sandals on, went over and had whatever he had for breakfast, you know, a little unleavened bread, a little coffee or tea, I don't know. And then all of a sudden about noontime, oh my God, I'm making a little fun of that because it is funny to think from our perspective of what happened to this man, but he was terrified at the time. He thought he was talking to God. But that's how your life is going to change. In a moment. I'm not talking about winning a lottery. I'm not talking about anything material. I'm talking about how you're going to change. To our community is a good thing. If it works out for you and you like what we say, become part of our community. Sign up. This is the second time I'm asking you, sign up and be part of our community. Then you can talk to each other, tell each other certain things that happened to you. But like a beehive, the critical mass that is created when two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also, we will be prepared for divine intervention, and communication will come to us because we, like Ezekiel, have a desire to prepare the world and tell them what we saw. That's the duty and the responsibility of a spiritually advanced, enlightened, aware, self-realized, fully realized being. Think about it. The prophets of old all had one mission. What was it? Usually it was to give prophetic dreams to the rulers. Usually it was attempting to warn the rulers of things that were going to happen. To the ordinary people, there was parables and wisdom given so they could have more food. They'd have medicine. They would have each other. They would have the word of God, which is basically the truth on how to live a better life, physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And what do you have when you have all that together? You have peace. You have civilization. You might not like all the people in the community, but at least you know how to get along with them. And then you might love everybody in the community. And now you become a clan or a tribe, and you're accepted for who and what you are, great or small, thin or thick, smart or not so smart. Everybody's accepted. And in order to do that, to accept people and to get along with them, that is divine. Because think about it, my friends, the hardest thing for people to do is to get along with other people. That's the opposite side of the golden rule. So why Ezekiel? Well, I can postulate, I can speculate, I can debate, I can praise him. I can even feel a little jealous. But that was his duty, and he didn't run away. So my vision was that there is coming, unbelievable as it sounds, an arrival of an armada of beings from someplace off-world. And they're going to appear not like Ezekiel in a flying helicopter kind of jet stream interruption noise and fluster. They're going to come through a round smoke ring, I'm calling it. I didn't call it a Stargate. It was Richard Serrett when I was on his show a week or so ago where I made that announcement bravely as I was right there. And he said, oh, that's a Stargate. Nobody ever told me that before, and I didn't realize it. I just thought, they're just like opening up the sky, and they're coming through it. There was nothing on the other side of the smoke ring, but this armada was gigantic. Okay, I'm either right or I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, no worries. If I'm right, we're saved. Because whoever's coming has been here before, I'm sure. They went to Egypt the last time they were here, and the world was better. Now, we are going to go through some more weather changes. The earth is sloshing around. There's wobbling. There's a possibility that the planet's going to turn 90 degrees. The oceans and the winds are going to keep going horizontally while the planet rotates 90 degrees, which means all that wind and water is going to swash all over the continents. May that not happen. But too many people are having visions and dreams of that happening. Too many people have had visions and dreams that have happened after they said they were going to have had these visions of the future. So become part of our community, support our community, and you too will have a cell phone, if you will, to the future. And then most importantly, do something about it. Procrastination is failure. If there's one thing that I can teach anybody who's a failure, it's how not to procrastinate. Many people are great. They're absolutely their most amazing failures. They know how to do everything wrong. So you just turn around and say, every decision you made to get here, just go back and do every decision the other way, and you're going to be rich. Think about that, how easy it could be. But procrastination is a thing that we all suffer from. It's an invisible disease. But it's one in which you say, is this my duty, my responsibility, or is it somebody else's responsibility? I can hire somebody to do it for me. it comes down to you, then do it. That's the conclusion of my lesson today. It's a little off the beaten path, but I trust it's enjoyable. I thought you might be a little provoked by it. And what happens is, you know, let it simmer, let it settle, and see where your mind comes. But the possibility that we're going to have visitors, from what I saw, is very real. Either that or something else happened to me and I was watching a late night movie and it kind of snuck into my dream. Come on, smile. It's okay. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And if you're in God's arms or in God's umbrella, no bad is ever going to come to you. Nothing evil is going to get you. Today, you live a peaceful and happy day, no matter what. If death is banging on your door, if you're in dire straits, pray. Ask for relief. Expect the unexpected. Look to the invisible and be made visible. I'd like you to read about Ezekiel from a perspective as I've just outlined. Other prophets in the Bible have had similar timelines and experiences. Whenever you're feeling hopeless or you're wondering about the darkness and have we been abandoned, remember, after the resurrection of Christ, that changed the world. Yeshua is a name that says he's the absolver of sins. He took all the world's inequities and difficulties upon himself, one person, one soul, and gave us the light for redemption and for the ability to get away from the dark side. That's why he's so special. He's not a person we're talking about. We're talking about the Christ, a magnificent, all-powerful, fully self-realized, fully realized soul. After his resurrection, one of his best buddies who betrayed him, you can always expect to be betrayed by a friend because it happened to Jesus, it'll happen to you. After that, the other 11, save for John, were convinced to the point that 10 of them went to their death willingly. And if you read how they approached their death, what's written in the good book, it's amazing that they went to their death without fear. So in understanding that, no matter where you are, what's happening to you, what's going on, don't be afraid. In a moment, like Ezekiel, you might look up and there's a helicopter coming down to give you a ride. Can you imagine what it must have been like for this man to get on a vehicle and go for a ride? And they took Ezekiel someplace to meet someone. Did you know that? I wonder who that person was. Remember, this wasn't God. God doesn't need vehicles. God doesn't need helicopters or computers or whatever. But Ezekiel, the message is there for us because his vision is about us. Nice stories all the way through antiquity into the present, but this is the time when ominous things are happening. We're living through them. We're not really paying attention to them. We're reacting to them. We're surviving them. But if you look back and see where the world has come in just 10 years, it's amazing. This time is a time for us to change the world. Next week, we're going to be talking about something different. But I hope that whatever I get orders from headquarters, that is to say, but I hope you peruse Ezekiel from a perspective of saying, is what happened to him about to happen to us? In the next few years, 5 or 10, are we going to have an intervention from our cousins from outer space? I think we are. Now, as we go through the next part of our healing, we're going to send some energy to people who aren't here today. I'm reading a little bit in the chat here. We are going to remember those people, especially people I've met in Spain, like Fernando Alvarez. And we're going to send him some energy because he's in great need. We're going to ask for virtue to come into him. Remember, virtue is everywhere. It's an intelligence. It's divine. No matter what happens to you, the divine is always there. We invoke coverage from the divine because we believe. As I look at all your faces as I'm changing the screens here, think of this. Zoom kind of church meetings. Who would have believed it? Some of you are having coffee. Some of you are doing things. Some of you are taking it easy. And you're listening to the word of God, so to speak, at church, in a community where you're all together comfortably. I remember as a kid, I used to hate those church pews. They were so hard to sit on. Oh, my God. Okay, what I said today is what I said. Let's wait and see what it happens. But as we move forward and now at this point in time, the world is going through a time of clashes and confrontations. Let's pray for peace every day. We have the power within. All we need is one to start, two more to make three, seven more to make 10. And then 10 will change the world. Okay, so I'm going to stand up. Today, let us explore the theme of my talk and work closely with God, because we're knocking on the door and we're seeking revelations, and God will give you a revelation dream through your dreams, through your visions, through your meditations, and through this community. Instead of playing another hymn, I'm going to go directly to the virtual healing service. Michael's having a little trouble with his computer. Reverend Michael is having a little trouble with his computer. And he would be at this point saying, put your hands forward like this to receive. Take a shallow breath. Exhale slowly. Think of the most divine essence you can. Mother Mary. Yeshua the Christ, Father Joseph, Angel Raphael or Michael, or to whatever divine being that has made their presence known to you, or to whom you have some meaningful connection. Let the quietness and the peace come over you. You can feel the movement in your hands, or maybe you get warm in the chest. Maybe you'll feel a little warmth in your forehead. A peace and comfort will come over you. Let your shoulders down. Let the forehead between the eyebrows relax. Open your mouth a little. Take the tension between your teeth away. Exhale very slowly as you take the next breath or two. As we ask, in the name of God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty. We are grateful for our lives. We are grateful for this time. We are grateful for this opportunity to be of service. We ask for all the benefits and entitlements and contributions to our welfare that we can have in the name of your grace, in the name of love. We deserve a good life. We deserve plenty. We are willing to do whatever it is necessary to gather good health, abundance, sustenance, peace, affection, love, and togetherness. In the name of all that is holy, we ask for virtue to come through each and every one that is here today, that they will receive a blessing of relief. We ask for this blessing to go through their bodies, removing any disease, any difficulty, any restrictions, any stiffness, any congestions, any tensions. We ask that our bodies will be like highways, free moving, fast, accelerated energy going through our bodies, affecting every cell of our body. It is coordinated and connected. We ask for virtue, that medicine of the mind and the soul and the body, to go through our body to correct any impedance, any difference or imbalance. We are people. We are humans. We have limits and we have extensions of our personality. But we above all are spiritual beings, coming closer and closer to God Almighty, asking for relief of pain, asking for our lives to be extended, or if they cannot be, then we would be peaceful. As we go through this time of extremes, as we go through this time of uncertainty, we see this as an exciting time, a time of change, a time of opportunity, a time to be of service. We ask for the blessing to go through into our throat, to go through our throat chakra, to all the other centers in the body, to bring relief, to remove fear, to allow love, like an elixir, like a fountain of youth, to go through our bodies easily and comfortably. In the name of the Most High, in the name of God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, in the name of perfect love, unconditional love, we ask for a blessing to go through our bodies easily and comfortably, removing any stiffness, any impairment, any difficulty, to remove the cancer from our cells, to remove the disease of diabetes from our body, to remove restriction in our arteries, to allow our hearts to be strengthened, to allow our immune system to be beefed up with strength and power to ward off any disease, We ask for our assimilation, elimination, respiration, and circulation systems in the body to be strengthened, to be renewed easily and comfortably. We ask for these things because we believe. We believe in God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty. We believe that love is deserving of us, that love is our medicine, that love is our way. In the name of the Most High, forgive us our sins. We repent our inequities and our difficulties. We ask for your love. We ask for a blessing from all those who have gone before, who have attained great heights of wisdom and have associated with you on the Most High. To those angels and avatars and saints and divine beings all over the world, we ask for a union of these divine hearts and minds. In power, we come and pray. In power, we know that we will be saved. In power, we understand God as best we can. In power, we are grateful. We are grateful for the love you send. To those listening around the world, to those in our community, may they receive a blessing now, and may that blessing continue to be with them. May they find love in their hearts, may they find peace in their day. May their minds be open to be guided through their dreams and visions, to answers to their questions, dilemmas, difficulties, and problems and challenges. May they find within themselves that spark of genius, that part that is of God and from God, the soul itself. May they touch upon that knowledge, that love, that mind, that part of them that is and lives forever. May they be blessed from the top of their head to the tip of their toe, and from the tip of their toe to the top of their head and all parts in between. Let them feel the love that you send. Mark and Tim, to Jack and Sandy, to Carol and Michael, to Tim and Pat, to John, to Maria and her brother, Fernando, to Marie, to Robert, to Janet, to PJ, to Tim, Terry, to Carrie, to Vivian, to Celeste, to Joe, to William, Regine, Anne, JP, Jean, Linda, Cavada, Cavita, to Tomas, to Maria, to John, to Mark, to Tim, to Patty, to Beto, to Sue, to Reverend Rebecca, Santiago, Mark, to Mark, to Jim and Sherry, to Reverend Douglas, to Paul, to Carol, to Michael, Reverend Michael. I believe I've got everybody, to John as well, and to myself. In your mind, I want you to repeat the words. I am, I seek a blessing. Forgive me the error of my ways. I am grateful for my life always. Amen, amen, amen. I am. I am grateful for my life. Amen. Amen and amen. If you're standing, stretch your back. If you're sitting, move your hands in the air. Take a big stretch in your spine. Let that energy go through your body. At this point in time, you might feel your hands move. You might feel a little warm here or in your throat. You might feel something on your forehead. Remember, take the tension out of your forehead. Take the tension out of your jaw. Put your shoulders down. Relax. As we now go to the people in the chat, we trust you're remembering to send in your applications for healing, for request. Send them in to, and somebody will give you that email address in a minute. But as we move from here, Patty, are you going to announce the names or the people who are requesting healing?
Yes, I will. Should I go off the chat?
Say again?
Should I read off of the chat also?
You do whatever you like. You're in charge. Okay, so let me say, in the name of Mother Mary, for those who are Catholic who are here today, who are in need, we ask specifically for the intervention of Mother Mary. We ask also for Father Joseph and Yeshua the Christ. For those who are of other religions who are here today, we ask for the same, the divine being. We appeal and petition the divine above for healing that will be sent to those who are not here today. And through our service and through our benefit and through what we have been given today, we extend and share this love to the following people. Go ahead, Patty.
For Helen, who has a tumor.
Say the name again.
Helen.
Continue.
Lynette, relief from emotional anxiety.
Continue.
For Sam, relief from liver cancer and depression.
Continue.
For Zowie, a dog, relief from kidney problems.
Continue.
For Williams, relief from right knee problems. For Sue, relief from hearing loss, thinning hair, and varicose veins.
Continue.
For Dr. Raju, relief from scoliosis and severe allergies. For Lavinia, for relief from dementia and eyesight loss.
Continue.
For Michael, for relief from migraines and viral infection.
Continue.
For Sal, for relief from gout and depression.
Continue.
For Jane, for relief from diverticulosis.
Continue.
For Benny, for relief from cancer that is throughout his body.
Continue.
For Frank, relief from ulcers on his feet.
Continue.
For Fernando, for relief from lung and bone cancer.
Continue.
For Norm, for relief from scarring on his lungs, which produces lung infections and shortness of breath.
Continue.
For Frida, for relief from Lyme disease.
Continue.
For Manuel, who is in palliative care.
We ask for a blessing of Mother Mary to come near, to take him by the hand, and to bless him. Continue.
For Marty, for relief from pain from polio.
Continue.
For Lisa, relief from a broken arm and sprained ankle.
Continue.
This is the last one. For Nelson, for relief from multiple sclerosis problems.
We're also going to include Ellen for her liver cancer and for the opportunity to have surgery. May it be accelerated. Ellen Hassan. To Elaine, Aaron, for the edema in her body to subside. Elvira in Granada, Spain, for a blessing to remove the cancer and the conditions in her body and any Parkinson's or vibration in her body easily and comfortably. Let her feel the warmth of Mother Mary going through her body, healing and relieving her now. We are grateful for the healing that has taken place and for that that will continue to take place. To those who are meaningful to us, our friends, our relatives, our family, we are grateful for the intervention of the divine. Your will be done. We ask on the behalf of those who have made requests today that the virtue will go through their body quickly, completely, and comfortably, and they will be given a reprieve and a blessing that they might come closer and closer to understanding God Almighty. In the name of the Most High, in the name of all that is wonderful, loving, wise, and kind, we are grateful for our lives and for the ability to be of service. May that that has passed through our bodies benefit our physical forms, our lives, our hearts, and our minds. And may we see the light. May it be bright. May it be our guiding light in all that we do. In the name of God Almighty, amen. Amen. And amen. If you're a little warm right now, it's the energy going through you. And we'll see if we can play a little music just for a minute. Kind of lets us back down a little bit.
Thank you very much, Reverend Douglas Cottle, for a fascinating sermon and for the blessings, for leading us in the blessings and the prayers for those here and those who are absent. I have a few announcements here. I like to remind people that Tuesday night, 7:30, Deacon Dave is conducting Chinese yoga or Qigong class. And those who have been on it will attest to the fact that it is extremely helpful in strengthening their bodies and improving the energy flow in the bodies and dealing with afflictions. So I invite you to that. There's also Reverend Douglas Cottle is conducting a Search for God every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we never know exactly what the topic is going to be, but it's always fascinating. And then afterwards, you have an opportunity discuss things and ask questions. So it's a very valuable time. And I would like to do a final blessing here myself. And after the blessing, we will be having a chat in which, or what shall I say, a coming together, social, so to speak, in which you can discuss the sermon, other spiritual aspects, you can make comments, you can ask questions, and all of you who are in the social, you can respond with your interpretations, etc. And most people do that are on the social find it a very valuable time to get to know one another and also to enlighten one another on different perspectives of spiritual growth. So the final blessing,
Reverend Rebezka.
God Almighty, we love you, we love you, we love you. To all angels and archangels, Yeshua, Mother Mary, Father Joseph, all the highest saints, divine beings, avatars, ascended masters, teachers, and healers, we thank you as well for all of your blessings and your help in our lives. We are grateful for all the wondrous gifts and grace that you have bestowed upon us. We ask that you help us and continue to help us on our journey of spiritual growth and on our path, that we deal with any challenges we may face with calmness, confidence, and compassion. That so that these challenges, these opportunities of growth, we face them with gratitude and see them as opportunities of growth. And we continue ever more to move forward on our life's path, following our destiny in keeping with God's will. I ask that you bless us all and fill us with your grace always. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So be it, so be it, so be it.
I believe Reverend Rebecca might have a final prayer blessing as well. Yes, no?
Sorry, I needed to unmute there. And a little reminder, I skipped my request for one cup of coffee. This time I'll ask for a nice burger or something else in terms of a donation. I want to just remind you all we do have expenses. And I'm setting my sights a tad higher than a cup of coffee for you all. We have a PayPal button now on our website as of this morning. And with that, thank you, God Almighty, for being with us here today. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us, the sermon that was so interesting, and the healing for our loved ones who are not here, as well as for those of us who are here. And with that, thank you for this week that's coming up. Bless us all, and amen.
Just to make one further announcement, ManyMansionsCenters.org. If you go there, there's an application for membership. You simply copy it, place it in your email, fill it out, and return it to, preferably to Many Mansions. Well, it gives you the instructions there, but preferably to ManyMansions.helpline@gmail.com. The information is all there on the website. There was also a PayPal button, as Reverend Rebecca referred to, and we invite you to donate. As Rebecca has alluded to, we do have expenses, and every donation that you make is very much appreciated and put to very good use. Another way, of course, of donating is to go to manymansions144@gmail.com if you are in Canada, and you can do an e-transfer directly into Many Mansions account. If you are in the United States, go to mmsc.usa@gmail.com, and also to do an e-transfer, which is very convenient. So thank you very much, all of you. May God bless you and keep you safe.
I just want to say to everyone that thank you for coming today. This is our new format. Reverend Douglas has been assigned the task of being our MC. We've attempted to get the clergy participating as much as we can. I want to thank Paul, who is producing the Many Mansions Zoom radio show on the Global Village Radio as we talk right now. We do hope to see you at other events. We have our Hope Conference coming up in Arizona, but I want to remind you again, you must sign up to be a member of the community. This is the second time I've asked. I'd like you to check out the email addresses just to put your name in, send an email saying hello. That puts the contacts on both our side and your side so that we're not going to be hacked or spammed. And for those people who are listening from around the world, we love you. We are glad that you're here. We hope to help you and your families. Especially, we send special prayers out to our friends in Spain and in Peru who are going through some difficult times. And we trust that Mother Mary is watching over our friends removing the poisons and the toxins from the body as we speak. It's an important time that we come together. Visit the websites. Let us know if there's any typos. Somebody told me today there's a typo on one of them today. The only way we find that out is you let us know. With that, I'll say I'm going to turn the host over to Reverend Douglas. I want to thank Reverend Michael for participating, although he's having a few glitches in his computer. Reverend Rebecca for her kind words. To Mark for his wonderful introduction. Also to Michael for helping out with his comments about the connections. And also to Joe, who's standing by manymansions.helpline@gmail.com. This is a man who does a lot of good. Send him a little line saying, high five, thank you very much, keep in touch. And again, the donation buttons are working on the manymansions.org website, but also I want you to visit the other websites that we have. Maybe we can get Paul or Jack, rather, to make a mention of those email addresses. Would you be so kind as to say what the email and website is for our people living on the south side of the border?
Yeah, I think they're in the chat also, but
there you go.
It's mmsc.usa@gmail.com for anyone that, and our Hope Conferences is hopeconferences.org.
Okay. I'm just reading the chat here. Sorry you missed, Will. We would see you next time, but we're glad you came in and got in here at the last. So with this, I'm going to ask Paul to conclude the radio broadcast, and I'm also going to make Reverend Doug Bentley the host, and I'm going to say it's a pleasure seeing you all here, my friends. Thank you for those who have contributed large sums of money. You'll automatically be a member of the community. You'll get a certificate in the near future. Everybody else, you better sign up, okay? Go to the website. You'll see the form to ask to make a membership application, okay? It's very important that we become a formal community for a lot of reasons. I hope you enjoyed the sermon today. Let me know what you found out when you did the Google thing on Ezekiel. Okay. And with that, I'll say I'm going to leave the meeting. God bless you, one and all. God bless you in Spain. We hope to see you someday really soon. And we hope everybody's doing much better in Spain and in Peru. Adios, amigos. And for everybody else, see you down the path somewhere. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining the Many Mansions Sunday Interfaith Service with Reverend Douglas James Cottrell and the Many Mansions clergy. Join us every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, and you can also join this service on Zoom by going to internationalschooloftheprophets.com. We also present a radio show here on Blog Talk Radio on the Global Village channel every Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Are you ready to experience life-changing wisdom, spiritual insights, and transformative knowledge? Come to the next Hope Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th at the Holiday Inn Suites Phoenix Airport North with special conference rates for attendees. Go right now to hopeconferences.org for all the details. Powerful healing techniques and spiritual guidance for your personal growth. Interactive questions and answers with Douglas James Cottrell and other experts. Insights into coming global events and predictions through a spiritual lens. The Hope Conference brings together like-minded people to provide them with the tools they need to unlock their full potential. Come to the Hope Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th. Go now to hopeconferences.org. That's hopeconferences.org for all the details.